You know, it's tough being a spy. I mean, I imagine, even if you're allowed to tell people what you do for a living, they probably aren't going to believe you. I mean, really. But if you're, what if you're a spy and you're married to a spy and George Clooney played you in the film adaptation of your life? I mean, I barely believe it, and the proof is sitting in front of me in the studio. Robert Baer and Dana Baer were both CIA agents when they fell in love while on a mission in Sarajevo. They're now co-authors of a new memoir that's called The Company We Keep, A Husband and Wife True Life Spy Story. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So first, tell me about this wooing. I mean, you can imagine all kinds of plots, more like Brad and Angelina and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, or maybe it was just two mundane thing, people working together on a job in Bosnia, flirting over kebabs. How did it go?
Well, there wasn't much flirting during the initial working together. We did meet in Sarajevo. We were working on a tracking Hezbollah. You know, we were busy, and he didn't even know my true name for that entire trip.
What did he think your name was?
Riley.
Ah, like from the Aliens movies?
Well, probably.
Okay.
Celeste has a lot of alien references. You'll hear that in the conversation. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, that was my alias. I knew his name. You know, we didn't get together until way long time after that.
Long time is how long?
Months.
It was months. We're back at the headquarters, and I saw Riley walking down the hall, and I said, "Hey, then go." Someone on our team got shot while we were there. We checked up on that. And I said, "Let's go to dinner." And she said, "Fine." And over dinner, I invited her to go skiing in Switzerland. I said, "Hey, do you want to take a week off and go skiing off season in Zermatt?"
That's quite the second date.
That was actually the first date.
Offer of a second date in Switzerland for a week. Nice. You don't mess around.
Yeah.
No.
So, I mean, at this point, I mean, it's okay. It's not verboten in the CIA for agents to date.
No, it's not. In fact, in some instances, it's encouraged because, you know, you can understand what the other person goes through. If you're dating or married to somebody outside the CIA, I mean, lots of times you can't tell them where you go or what you do or even, you know, who you work for.
Case in point, Valerie Plame. Yeah. That was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
keep it in the family.
Well, that's one of the things that you talk about in your book is the I mean, marriage is hard enough. We've said that before. But in your particular case, sometimes one of you would walk out the door and you weren't really sure of that person's safety. You weren't entirely sure when they were going to come back. I mean, it multiplies the difficulties of married life by tenfold. I mean, and how did you deal with that? You first. Tell me, Robert, how did you deal with that?
You couldn't deal with it. You know, you go away for 6 months to a year, and that was the period. You cannot call back. You cannot write. There's no such thing as email. You're in a part of the world. Your spouse has no idea. And you come home, and they don't recognize you, especially the children. They look at you like, who is this guy, and why has he interfered with Mom and us? It was inevitable. But you don't see it every, you know, immediately. It just happens over time. 10 years later, you're estranged.
And for you, that estrangement turned into, how did you get past it, that initial estrangement of the return home?
You know, you just do. I mean, you have to.
You didn't have a strategy. You didn't say, okay, we're going to make sure we do the date night two times a week instead of once. And, I mean, there wasn't a plan?
Well, what we eventually ended up doing is figuring out we had to leave the CIA because you know, we'd both had previous marriages that just didn't survive the alienation and the separation. And so we eventually just decided there was no way we were going to get assigned together anywhere, and it wasn't going to work to be separated.
You know, I guess I wonder, with all of the concern in the military for these kinds of estrangement issues and the help that they try to provide, I'm wondering what the institutional support there is. And you, Bob, know John O'Neill and other people, I'm sure. John O'Neill died in 9/11, but whose life you saw as a friend really sort of come apart over the course of his covert actions and activity. How do you keep from the temptations that must be there?
You know, it's funny. I've spent a lot of time with the military since I've been out doing stories, and it's Christian families that actually hold together in the special forces. This isn't a conspiracy, but it's Mormons, it's evangelical Christians built around the church, and that's why you see in Delta Force and Special Forces strong Christians, because they can go away to Afghanistan for 6 months, come home and find the family intact.
Which is not necessarily an argument for religion, but it certainly is an argument for having a strong sort of spiritual center if you're going to go into these places.
Absolutely, or pay the cost. And it will inevitably end in divorce and break up a family, and worse.
You know, to a certain extent, there's a lot of your lives as CIA agents get complicated by politics and policies, and some of which I know, Robert, you had strong opinions about, and you voiced them in some of your prior books. And I'm wondering to what extent those politics ended up at the dinner table. Those also complicated how the marriage went and what you discussed and what you fought about even.
Well, you know, first of all, my job was really a technical position. I never had any responsibility to know or understand the politics, crazy as that may sound, from the countries or the places that I was working. And most of my job was, well, when I met Bob, it was supporting him with technical operations. So, you know, yes, we talk about the political things, but most of the time I leave that to him.
You know, she ran a directional mic that can read through walls, you know. I mean, it's not really a dinner conversation.
But did you talk about it with your kids, in front of your kids?
No. You couldn't talk about these things. You couldn't talk about carrying, you know, a rocket launcher in your car or, you know, getting in the middle of a artillery fight in Central Asia and things like that.
At what age can't you do that anymore? Can't you keep that from your kids?
They didn't know about me until I was on 60 Minutes.
Wow.
They didn't know I worked in the CIA.
They had a lot of questions?
They had a lot of questions, but the alienation was still there. It was like their lives were different. They were teenagers. You know, they were dating. They were going out. They were following their lives. And the CIA didn't really relate to them.
Wow. How old are they now?
24 is the oldest.
I imagine rebellion in your family is joining Al-Qaeda, right?
that's exactly.
Oh, my God. Yikes. They haven't done that, right?
No. They've gotten through this.
We are going to continue this conversation with Dana and Robert Vair. They are co-authors of the new book, The Company We Keep, A Husband and Wife True Life Spy Story. And we're going to talk a little bit more about politics in just a moment. Robert Vair, also the author of See No Evil. That was the inspiration for the film Syriana, which was the main character. You were played by George Clooney. That's pretty exciting.
Yes, it was.
Your kids had nothing to say about that?
I brought my daughter to the Berlin Film Festival, and she was impressed when George Clooney knocked on her door.
I would impress any young kid. But let's move on. The book itself is about your personal lives, your marriage, struggling through being agents in the CIA and trying to keep together a family. But let's move on to more of the professional expertise. I mean, it's hard to ignore what's happening in the Middle East right now. Robert, that was the region of a lot of your activities while you were working for the CIA, right?
Yes, all Middle East.
So, I mean, how do you put in context things? For example, the UK mission where they sent in special forces team to land on the ground in Libya and make contact with rebels. You must see things like that, and they call back missions of your own that you went through.
I can read between the lines. That was driven from London. The government's been embarrassed there, letting this go under, and they deceive somebody's got to do something, and they always turn to SAS. Just like this government always turns to the CIA. It has an insoluble problem. So go to CIA director, go fix it.
Landing off the shelf.
Landing these people in an area they don't understand, don't know. It was almost inevitable they were going to get picked up. I mean, Libya is more chaotic than you're seeing in the news.
Really? Because it looks pretty chaotic in the news.
You're having multiple tribes, different agendas. This transitional government isn't for real. And you've got these mercenaries from Chad and Niger, and you've got an insane man running this. And his kids are insane by any definition.
But is there any intervention by the CIA or anyone else, the SAS from any country, that military intervention that could work to protect Libyan civilians?
Oh, we could, but we would be in another war in the Middle East with no end. It would take months and months to degrade the air defenses. We would not only have to take out the air defenses, we have to take out the tanks, which would be a lot easier. And then you'd still be left with 20-some tribes. Mm-hmm. And it's going to look a lot like Somalia at the end of the day.
If we had an hour, I'd ask you if Saudi's going to hold through all this. But Dana, before we go, are you two more like Boris and Natasha from Bullwinkle in your marriage, or are you more like Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson?
Oh, I'm probably Boris and Natasha.
Oh, really? Not the accents, I assume, but you're talking.
No.
You don't call your kids squirrel and moose.
No, we don't.
I mean, but moving forward, I mean, you left the CIA when?
97.
Okay, so it's been a good long time since you've been out.
Yes.
What has that transition been like? I mean, you said that you left the CIA basically because you had to keep the family together.
We ran to Beirut, first of all, and got involved in kidnapping and assassination attempt, immediately retreated from that. And then we went to Iraq for the war for ABC News, and our house was hit by 6 missiles. We were not in the house. And so sort of the life follows you.
You decided to leave real estate behind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Move out of real estate.
Yeah, moved out of real estate. Yeah.
Since then, things have become more peaceful?
Yes. We've adopted a little Pakistani girl.
Oh, wow.
She's 3.5. She's doing great.
Well, she'll have some questions.
Yeah, no kidding.
Teach backcountry skiing.
Well, the book is called The Company We Keep, A Husband and Wife, True Life, A Spy Story. And it's a fascinating read. The authors, Dana Baer, Robert Baer, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.